All right. We back again with another episode of Bump Your Gums. We got your boy, brother Tony.
All right.
We got Jay Diamond.
It was good.
And here I am, Gabe. We on the mic. Let's see what we bumping our gums about today.
I want to start off first. Let's talk about it. This past weekend, LeBron James is facing a lot of backlash because at the AAU tournament, LeBron was participating in the layup line. So I want to see, how do y'all feel? Do y'all think that the criticism is warranted? Do y'all think that it's right that it's like a public outrage about what LeBron was doing? Or how do you feel about that, Jamal?
I feel like because it's LeBron, I think kids would want to see him, you know, do something like that because it, of course, hypes up the game. But I think as a parent, I don't think he should do it just because of the fact that other parents are not allowed to do the same thing. If I was a parent and my kid was playing, if I get up and get in the rotation and trying to do layups, they're going to put me out the gym, bro. Like, it's not happening.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I agree. It's people, I keep hearing the people talking about, you can't tell another person how to parent. First of all, I don't agree with that. If somebody parenting wrong, not saying LeBron
exactly.
is, you should say something.
You should be
something.
Able to say something, yeah.
Although, you know, we all have our different skill sets, there is a baseline of what bad parenting
especially
is.
Yeah, real talk. At a game.
Yeah, but yeah. To keep it in context, yeah, it's the thing of LeBron James in the layup line. The kids may like it and how people dunking and he like, yeah, you know, running up on the rules. I get it, you're LeBron James, but does that mean that you don't have to adhere to the same rules that everybody else does? Like Mr. Diamond said, if he went out there, yeah, if his right. bum made a dunk, he'd be escorted out the gym. Yeah.
Let me ask this question. Now, if that was your AAU league or team, did you think that you would like something like that, being that it is LeBron and this could maybe hype up my league or put it on the map or something like that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you're the owner of the team or the league, of course you would want LeBron to be giving you the love. Or, you know, you're going to get the attention from, I can come to a game and I might be able to see LeBron James dunking.
Yeah.
But I think what the issue for me really was is just – LeBron's lack of self-awareness. You have to understand that I'm LeBron James. Like, we're not even talking about whether the kids won the tournament or not.
Yeah.
Most people don't know, did Bronny's team win? All we're talking about is LeBron James was dunking. And I think that's the part that hurts LeBron, because now he's taking away the attention from the kids. That's that time to shine. You had your time to shine. You have your time to shine always. So why can't the kids have that moment?
So what does LeBron do if, say, I'm LeBron and I'm chilling, my son's about to play, all the kids want me as LeBron to, LeBron, come do a dunk, come do a layup for us. So even though it's not about the, you know, me doing a layup is not about, it's taking away from the kids, but they want to see that as a, like, get us hyped up for the game.
Okay, hold on. Let's
you know what I'm saying?
This is my question. Did they ask for it? One. And Bronny is on the team, so they see LeBron every day.
Yeah.
So is he in the layup line on the non-televised practice?
Yeah, he could do. And if they wanted to see it, he could do it at practice.
Yeah, because that's what I'm saying. If this is just him, just yeah. like at practice yeah. in the thing, then cool. But like he said, he has to be aware, because I don't know. Did the game even happen after that?
Nobody really knows. Yeah. They did win, though, but I only know that because I was interested to know that they win now.
Yeah, so
but,
you take, when you're the star, it's a different thing. Now, if he was throwing alleys to the kids in the layup line,
now,
I think
been
that
different.
Would be different, because the kids are still shining.
Yeah.
They are the shine. Like, and then as a kid, who wouldn't want to, it's a different thing to say, you know, LeBron James dunked in the layup line before me versus I caught a lob from LeBron
from
James.
From LeBron James, yeah.
And, you know, it.
But it still can be looked at like, hey, man, this is LeBron, his son playing this team. What do you think that does to the other team? It's like, hey, man, LeBron over there dunking and doing layups or whatever.
Oh, I know what it'll do to me. I'm about to bust Bronny. Bronny about to get served. Yeah. That's what I be thinking. I'm about to drop Bronny off. Yeah. Every time, Bronny on me, I'm calling for ISO. Exactly. ISO.
Exactly. Y'all over there clowning.
Imagine smashing on Bronny and eyeing LeBron down in the bleachers.
Mm, that's what I be doing.
Layup on that.
Yeah, dunk on that. Mass on Bronny and just looking LeBron in the stands like, I'm coming to the league too.
And next game, I'm bringing my daddy on the floor.
Yeah, real talk. I just think, look, that's always been an issue for LeBron to me is his lack of self-awareness of how just the optics of decisions that even if we go back to the him going to Miami thing, the decision, but him doing it on I never had a problem with him going to Miami. He has the freedom to pick whatever team he wants to. But I think the way that he did it was what I always had an issue with because he didn't let Cleveland know until it was on TV. Then you make a big spectacle about just you know what I'm saying? Like, even though people always say, well, it was for charity, he was raising money for charity. He could have just gave some money to charity.
That's a little question. I don't want us to go too deep into this.
Go ahead.
Which was worse, KD going to the Warriors or LeBron going to Miami?
KD. It depends.
Let's touch on it.
It depends on the context. Because LeBron going to Miami wasn't bad in the sense of him going to Miami. It was the process in which, it's just how he handled his business. Because, granted, like he said, he can go wherever he wants to. But in the fact
KD can't go wherever
Okay. But in the fact of you have a team, when you're a number one, a blue chip NBA player, the longer you take to make your decision, you holding other teams hostage per se. And granted, that's not your business per se, but it's the fact of I had his salary cap, I had his money. I'm trying to make these moves. So my strategy changes if you stay versus if you go.
Right.
So if you don't tell me what you're doing, I'm just like stuck. Like this year
with Kawhi.
Kawhi had everybody in limbo. The Lakers thought they were getting him, so they spending money, moving these. All these other teams moving around, Toronto moving around because they can't move because they still in the running for this man who already knows where he going.
Yeah.
So if LeBron, like he said, had told Cleveland, I ain't going to be able to make it.
Mm-hmm.
They would have made their moves and da-da-da-da. He could have still donated his
But he probably was just decisive. Like,
He knew
before the broadcast. He didn't decide during the broadcast.
But you see, this is my thing. The same way how many people make it with LeBron, that's how I felt about Kevin Durant. He was years in the process of, I don't know if I really want to do this. I already want to go to another team, but I'm going to try to duke it out.
With him, it was looked at bad because it was a, you can't beat him, join him.
Right, but that
What I don't like about that is it wasn't like Kevin Durant was playing the Warriors year after year after year, and they was losing to him.
It was one series
that they played them, and they lost to them.
That's what I'm saying. That's just how it's viewed. That's how the world works.
So that's why when I asked which one you think is worse,
you, like I say, the optics of it is KD. Whether what the reasoning and the true thing, I don't agree.
Because to be honest, I would have did the same thing Kevin Durant did.
Absolutely.
Because that was his partners.
Hold on, but who, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I'm thinking in the context
look at Westbrook.
Of just how it looked. Because who, this is what I tell people. As a fan, you have to separate your fandom from the fact of it's a sport to us. To them, it's their job.
Right.
And anybody would be lying if they say you number one at your company, but say you work at, Joe's Electrics, and you number one at Joe's Electric, then you have a job, you have an opportunity to go work with Apple or Google, and you're going to say, well, you know what? They've been beating us in sales all these years. I'm not going to go. You're lying.
Yeah.
Because it's your job. You're looking for progression. Yeah. You're looking to go for the best.
So in that sense,
I respect the fact that this is a job, man. So you mean to tell me I'm over here, I'm busting my hump, and we lose and stuff like that. I could go over that to a better team, a better opportunity, make more money, win rings, and further my career. Yeah, who wouldn't do it? But just as a fan of the sport and just looking at it as a sport, the optics said, man, the people who just beat you, you're not supposed to go over there and correct. Be like, hey, let me ball with y'all now. Since yeah. y'all.
But see, I just think that's, I think the fact that we view it like that is just a societal issue to where it's like you get shamed for wanting to be better, regardless of the context or whatever. Like it, I don't think in any circumstance it should have been wrong for Kevin Durant as a free agent, he put in his time with OKC, to not say, well, I'm going to go to state.
You know what? Oh, go ahead.
That's why I think that for some players, it's not about the championships. A lot of times it's like, okay, well, we do it for the rings. For some people, you're not going to win a ring. And you got to make a decision based on what's going to be the best contract, how can I get the best endorsements and the money that's for me and my career and my life. Because it is real life.
No, that's true. But you got to think about it. That only applies to C-list players. Granted, it's a business, I'm saying, but the optics. Because nobody cares, like, if a Trevor Ariza goes somewhere who beat him. You know, nobody would care, you know, about Mike Miller if he went somewhere.
But I'm talking about the top players.
Hold on, but it...
Can I give you an example? Mm-hmm. Like, for example, like with Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker, more than likely, and for me, I probably would have stayed at Charlotte if I didn't know that I would have the opportunity to go play at Boston, though.
Why?
Because I knew for sure I'm going to get my money. I stayed there for like 5 years, and I still can. Even though Charlotte, they're not going to win, but I'm solidifying myself.
Okay, I've had this conversation before. I want to ask this question since we're talking about this. It's going to go along with, and you can talk about it first. But if you had the choice to be the highest paid player, but you're on a losing team, or to be a middle of the road paid player, but you're on a winning team, which one would you pick?
I think I would choose the road championship.
It would depend on my impact, my role on the team.
Can you give me a team name?
Okay,
We could do it like this.
Carmelo Anthony.
Uh-huh.
Remember, it was a point where Carmelo Anthony could have went to the Bulls. The Bulls only needed a scorer. That's all that they needed. But Carmelo chose to stay with the Knicks because the Knicks was going to pay him more money.
If I was in that case, I would have stayed with the Knicks.
Why?
Because I would have tried to be... Well, yeah, I would have stayed with the Knicks because of how big that brand is, how big that market is, and I would have tried to get...
I'm listening.
So, and I would have tried to get myself into other things outside of basketball to set myself up that way.
But like it's the Bulls, though. It's not like he was going to the Timberwolves.
No, but it's not about the team. It's what I would be trying to do in my own career and building something like that. Because if I go to the Bulls, who's to say that I'm going to actually win? Then I leave from a big market.
Hold on. I get that to a point, but one, when Carmelo showed up to the Knicks, they was garbage.
Yeah.
When he was there, they was garbage. When he left, they was garbage. So the luster of the Knicks was gone years ago.
Well, in that case, if I'm losing, like I'm not doing that. Well,
and then hold on, and then you gotta think
losing.
About it now.
You gotta do something.
Hold on, you gotta think about it now. As a blue chip player, which I don't think Carmelo ever was a blue chip NBA player.
I don't either.
Yeah, that's a whole nother thing.
Carmelo was never one of those guys.
He was never that dude. But now you have to make these things because although regardless of what I personally think, you are a blue chip NBA player and your legacy is going to go on whatever decision you make. You see now he in these decisions where they don't even want to give that boy a farewell tour because they like... He did nothing for the league.
What, you thought you was Kobe?
So it's like, you did nothing for the Knicks. You destroyed the team because they had a good squad.
Because all them players went to the Nuggets and the Nuggets was a playoff team.
Yeah, so once you got there, they had to get rid of everybody. Now, so you destroyed the
team. Now, what I'm saying, if Carmelo has nothing else outside of basketball, he failed it. You get what I'm saying?
Carmelo is just gonna fall into that category of an NBA player who probably made the most money. one of those most money companies. Because he been getting paid.
I think it was. It would have been.
I mean, even off the field,
it would have been.
It don't seem like he has anything else that speaks louder than his game. And I think being at a
But that's most any player though.
But I'm saying, like LeBron, for example, like him coming to LA, it's other things outside of basketball that he's building.
But it's LeBron James though. Like LeBron, it's hard because
he has no comparison.
LeBron probably is like the
But I'm talking
the
about
third
he not a blue chip
well-known.
Player.
But LeBron huh? Ooh.
I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, the same. You're about to go to another Cleveland Browns episode.
No,
blue chip player.
What I'm trying to say is that Carmelo is not sorry.
He's not sorry.
So being of
he's not very good.
Even when he went to the Knicks, he still was like that guy. I'm talking about when he first went.
No,
I don't agree with
that. Who was that guy
agree.
At that time? No.
He was. When you're saying that guy, are you saying he was the best player on his team?
Cause
is that what you mean by that guy?
I'm not talking about the whole league.
Okay.
With LeBron.
LeBron
was that guy.
Kobe was there too.
Yeah, Kobe was there too.
Other than when he was with the Nuggets, I don't think he was the best player.
Well, Allen Iverson was.
I've had this conversation with my friends to where I always say that Carmelo Anthony never was really good to me. Like he was a volume scorer. Like he was a known face more for his charisma and his personality.
He was the face of the Knicks.
Yeah, because who else was gonna be?
It was Stoudemire at first, and then when he got there, Stoudemire had to leave.
In New York, you can really take advantage. If you're the face of the team, you can really take advantage of all the other things outside of basketball to build some other things your career.
Yeah, but this is what
you should be able. That's what I'm saying.
But when Melo was able to make that decision, he had already been playing for the Knicks. He already had played some seasons with them.
What you talking about? Not to go to
Chicago.
Yeah, in that case, I probably would have went to Chicago because it's like you're not getting the money. It's nothing coming. Like I said, if nothing outside of basketball was growing, then it failed. It looks like that because of how he's moving around the way.
Now he can't even get signed to a team.
Right.
When he got cut from the Rockets, what they gave him 30?
He was getting 30 from the Hawks, I think. When the Hawks waived him, then we picked him up off waivers. Right. So he probably only got like $1 million from us, but he got 30 that year.
30 for sitting at the
crib.
For
not hooping, yeah. He did
asking
it better than Marbury.
Asking people for not a reunion tour.
Well,
a farewell tour.
I tell you what. I don't think he should get a farewell tour.
$30 million on the couch is farewell enough.
Yeah. he was like Paul Pierce. They're like Paul Pierce didn't get one. Paul Pierce was a good NBA player. But he wasn't beloved. Like Kobe got a farewell. D Wade got a farewell tour.
When did tour start? When did that start?
I mean, it start. It's they only do it for deserving players.
Yeah, I think you got to be a really, really legendary player.
And you got
to
think Paul Pierce
to get that
was a staple for Boston.
Boston.
Yeah. So therefore, he might not have got the farewell tour, but Boston celebrated him.
Yeah. It should
no
be like
team
that.
Team has a reason to celebrate Carmelo because I don't think he went to the playoffs once or twice.
That's kind of hard. I think the Nuggets could celebrate him.
Celebrate him.
Like, you can.
But if they didn't, I wouldn't be like, oh, the Nuggets out of line. They didn't do nothing for Melo.
That's what I'm saying. Paul Pierce, if the Celtics would not have celebrated him,
it'd have been an uproar.
It'd have been like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody who's ever watched basketball would understand why he should get something from them.
For sure.
The Nuggets, and you're like, all right, that's the team that drafted you, I guess, you know?
It just seemed like they about to start this whole wave with everybody trying to do farewell tours, and they don't deserve it.
Well, I think this year, the reason why they Dwight is a Hall of Famer, though. We put some respect on Dwight name.
You know what? After me going back and doing some research,
Dwight,
I will say Dwight did hold it down. And pretty much all his years with rebounding.
Yeah, he was a defensive player of the year four times. Yeah, he was doing his thing.
But
he went to the finals.
I tell you, when he came to the Rockets, he was weak.
I think they only doing a farewell tour like this now partially because of Tim Duncan. Because I think the reason, because Dirk Nowitzki never said that he was going to retire this year. But I think they was pushing a farewell tour for Dirk Nowitzki, because when Tim Duncan played his last season, he didn't say nothing.
Oh, okay.
So Tim Duncan just retired, and all the people that would have wanted to celebrate Tim Duncan, because Tim Duncan was deserving of a farewell
tour.
Well,
I think that's most just definitely. Tim Duncan's character and personality.
Yeah, he didn't want it.
Personality doesn't
yeah,
say.
Yeah, he wouldn't have wanted it.
It so seemed that's like why Dirk is the same way, though.
That's why they wasn't going to let Dirk leave without getting a farewell tour.
But that's different between a person who, like San Antonio didn't give him one, but you know why, because Tim Duncan barely spoke. So it was like you could see why it was just him.
Well, they didn't know he was going to retire, though. He just in the summertime just said, I ain't coming back.
And they should have did Tony Parker like that, Ginobili.
But they did do something for them this year, but yeah. It was just they didn't say they was going to retire until after the season. Then, you know, Tony Parker went to the Hornets.
Yeah.
So it was like once they – even with Ginobili, his last game, even though he didn't say he was gonna retire, like they had a whole standing ovation and stuff with Ginobili because they did so much for their franchise.
And before we go on, because we're supposed to be talking about football. But how weak is it that you got to, like – sub message through your agent about getting a farewell tour?
I think that's weak.
It's super weak.
I'm like, y'all weak. First, you're not even in the league. So not only are you saying you need a farewell tour, you are putting this out there so a team can pick you up. And
that's
you're
not
using
deserving.
Farewell tour in the hopes of, man, maybe they'll pick me up.
Yeah, you're just trying to get signed.
I don't
signed.
Want them to do that. I don't want them to do that.
How weak is that?
It's super weak to me, but it's Melo, man.
Melo's agent is suggesting that.
Nah,
what?
That's weak, man. Nah, that's it.
Melo retired, man. Yeah. He might well just retire and let it go.
Yeah. You know it's Melo saying this because if my agent said that, first of all, why you still have an agent? Why you still have a basketball?
He retired. He don't know he retired. That's what it
first
is.
First of all, why you still got a basketball? But
I'm still
if
hoodie,
my agent
hoodie
said that and I didn't say that, I'm a whoa.
Yeah, that's
him. I didn't say that.
Yeah, but the fact that he didn't say nothing is like you co-signing this.
Exactly.
You want this farewell tour.
Yeah, you good. Farewell.
Yeah, that's but it. Y'all saw that the interview he did where he was
Stephen
like,
a.
yeah, with Stephen A. Yeah, it's like, man, my heart and body are falling, man.
Yeah, he's like, I felt, you know, after the Rockets, I left the Rockets, I felt like I was fired.
Yeah.
Man, get out of here. Yeah. He sounded like he was like on Ayana Van Zandt. like he was on one of them fix
Stephen
my
A.
life.
Fix my life.
Yeah, I was like, come on, dude.
Stephen A. wasn't having it, huh?
Stephen A. was the one the day before was like, yeah, Melo don't deserve a farewell tour.
I don't think he
does.
Like,
basically, they were like, when you think about him and him and him, they did all this stuff. What you think about Melo? Right. So I was like, but
yeah.
But that's true. But let's get into this this NFC ranking. Now, last week we did the AFC. It was pretty eventful, you know. Some shocking revelations were made. Shocking. Shocking revelations were made.
I don't know how.
So we'll see how this week goes. Oh, you know how the people was reverse bandwagoning out here.
Yes, sir.
He was riding the bandwagon backwards.
I'm trying to change the game.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Trendsetter.
Trendsetter.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right.
I don't think nobody going to jump out to
we
it.
We bandwagon the sorriest teams.
Yeah, okay.
God,
sorry to hear that.
Exactly. Hey, we're going to start naming all the trash teams.
Set high hopes.
So with the NFC, do y'all think it was any offseason moves of significance? Like, do you think it was anything done? Like, man, that's a game changer in the NFC?
Game changer? I think that, I'll say this, DeSean Jackson going back to Philadelphia was good for that organization, but I don't know about a game changer. I think it was good for, it was a piece that was needed for the Eagles and what they're doing. And especially if Carson Wentz is healthy and can finish up the season, I think it'll be a good piece.
I
but I don't know about game changer.
I know a game changer in the offseason for me was New York signing Daniel David.
Are you talking about the quarterback,
yeah.
Daniel Jones?
Daniel Jones.
It's
not changing the game for nothing good. But
yeah.
I think that was the most shocking.
Yeah, that was the most
that
shocking.
That was the most, because he like.
Even though it was like rumbles that they was going to do it, but everybody was like, why would they do that? That's so
dumb.
Yeah,
because his stats are horrible.
Super horrible. It's nothing redeemable about his stats where you can look like, oh, well, at least he had a higher completion percentage, or oh, he threw a lot of passes over 20 yards. Like, it was nothing good about his stats.
Stats were.
But it was just being connected to the right people, man. Yeah, you got to be connected to the right people.
Hey, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
It's who you know. And he knew the right people to get drafted high. And I think the Giants going to regret it, but I think the best team in the NFC that I would say is the one seed is the Los Angeles Rams.
I don't agree.
What?
I was about to co-sign the Rams, but I know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because that's who I was looking at right there.
So the Rams. Who you got?
I have the Saints as the number one.
Nah, I'm not knocking the Saints. You know, Drew Brees get the love. You know, y'all, they got
Thomas.
They got receivers. They got, you know, running backs. I don't see them as number one. I see them in the top, maybe.
I think they up there. But I really can't make an argument against the Saints being number one per se. Outside of, I think that the Rams are number one.
I got the Rams as number two, so.
And I had the Saints as number two, so that's why I'm like, okay. It's hard to just argue against them being number one.
I think
the Rams, I think Sean McVay getting out-coached the way that he did in the Super Bowl, I think it's going to take him to a whole nother level, because he already was arguably one of the best coaches in the league before that. But when you get schooled by Belichick like that, I think my only concern with them kind of really is which Todd Gurley are we going to get? Because, you know, towards the end of the year, Todd Gurley kind of, his workload significantly decreased. Because
didn't he still injured? Or did he ever recover fully? Because I know
they were saying
he was supposed to be good
for the Super Bowl, and
after the Super Bowl, they was like, he was still hurt a little bit. So who knows?
So it's like, who knows what's going on with
Gurley? Hold on. Side note, I need to go take us back to AFC real quick. Remember we was talking about the only reason we would be looking at the Colts is because of
Andrew Luck.
He's hurt.
Yeah, I did see that.
I see that. You see, he's not. They
took
him.
Some of his calf, right?
They pulled him out of practice, so.
That's a dagger.
Good for the Texans.
Go Texas.
All right. That was funny.
I had to throw that in there.
I had the Saints second. I put the Saints behind them because I think this year is when we're gonna see a regression for Drew Brees. Cause even though Brady is old, Brady's still doing it. I think with Brady is different because the way that their system is and the team that they have around them, I think it's more conducive to him being able to shine. But I think like now with Alvin Kamara not having Mark Ingram, I think that's going to hurt their running game to a point where Drew Brees is going to have to pass more.
Yeah, it definitely do seem like. It feels like this is Drew Brees' last run.
Yeah, because even toward the end of last year, he wasn't playing as good.
Yeah, it's like he was tired. Like, this is a lot.
No, see, that like when you brought up Tom Brady, it's like Tom Brady is playing just from the space of, let's just throw the ball.
Because of how the system is. It's comfortable.
Drew Brees is playing football.
Yeah, he's
you know, he
playing.
In the dirt. He grinding. Yeah, Tom Brady grinding. Back there just do-do-do-do-do. So, you know, the style of play that New Orleans has is not conducive with an older quarterback.
Yeah.
Now, granted, you know, he's still good for, 4,000 a year.
Yeah. Because he got 4,000 last year.
He's still
doing his thing.
He throw that quiet 4,000. He's like, man, what did Drew Brees do? He realized he threw for 4,800
exactly.
yards.
Yeah.
Like,
now, my third team is similar in regards of a guy playing football at quarterback, and that is the Seahawks with Russell Wilson.
I don't even have the Seahawks making the playoffs.
I told you Russell Wilson. That was
Are you serious?
That was my
I don't think the Seahawks are going to make the playoffs.
They upgraded. They did it.
The Seahawks lost too many defensive players to me for them to be able to make it. Because if we're going by divisions, the Rams going to win that division, right?
Oh, they did lose Earl Thomas.
The Rams going to win that division. Then, well, my third team, I think it's going to be the Bears because I think the Bears are going to win the AFC North again. I think the Bears, because
of that.
You
don't think the Packers going to bring it together?
I don't think the Packers. I think
new coach.
People made so much bigger of a deal out of it being the coach that was the issue with Aaron Rodgers and that team. But I don't think it's just that. I think the roster is not really that good. I think Aaron Rodgers always makes them play better than they are. But I think the NFC was harder for me to pick than the AFC because I think it's the NFC upper echelon teams are so good. Like their good teams are really good. So I don't think they'll be.
You had the Bears, right?
I had the Bears when I'm a 3.
They did a lot of transactions. Like they upgraded a lot.
Yeah.
Which is why I have them right after the Seahawks, which would be my fourth team. But who did you have for number 3? I had the Seahawks. You had the Bears.
Seahawks too, right?
Yeah, my Seahawks. That's what I told you. Russell's the dude. He's going to come from the ashes.
He playing. That's why I said he like another. He playing football. Like he getting it. It ain't like that system with Tom Brady where it's just like, hey, this is easy money. Just easy money.
Wait. None of it is easy money.
Hold on. No,
like everybody.
Tom Brady, hold on. No,
it's different.
No, Tom Brady makes it look easy. But it's not easy.
No, it's one of those things of like
and his skill level.
No, it's the thing of like this. You are more likely to get penalized for what you do to Tom Brady versus what you do to Russell Wilson.
Yeah, they got
to
get it in.
That's true.
So that's why you say it's easier because Tom Brady doesn't have to look out for the same stuff that other football players
have
to look out
for. I think that's because Tom Brady knows how to get rid of the ball.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But I don't think our defender is running up to Tom Brady and not going to smack him as hard as they would Russell Wilson.
Hey, Tom, I know I'm trying to save your career, man.
They're going
to
smack him just there. They're going to sack Russell Wilson. Now, Russell Wilson might get touched more because Russell Wilson going to run out the pocket and try to make stuff happen.
That's why I say I think it's more so about Tom Brady's skill level.
Yeah.
And all of his... Because of
why I say he make it look easy.
Right.
He makes it look easy.
But I know it's harder.
He does. Tom Brady is the GOAT.
Oh, no,
the GOAT.
No, when you're looking at the game, I'm not taking that from him.
Yeah.
What I was saying is the fact of it's more. Tom Brady's skill to me is his skill is different. Because I don't think
it's like
he's
a sixth sense.
No, that's what I'm saying.
He's like a sixth sense.
No.
Nah, I'm listening, though.
Tom Brady's skill set is based on intangible things because he's not the most athletic. He doesn't throw the ball the natural. Best. None of his football skills are the best.
Mm-hmm.
It's an intangible thing that I can't just say that this is what it is because if you pick every skill, he's not the fastest. He don't.
That's how Peyton Manning was.
So that's what I'm saying. So it's something about.
Well, couldn't it be his football IQ? I would argue it might be his IQ. He might have the best IQ. Yeah.
That's an intangible. And it's his football IQ and the rules that don't apply to him.
Oh, here we go. What rules don't apply to Tom Brady?
What I'm saying is, like I said earlier, you are more likely to get penalized for doing the same thing to Tom Brady that is acceptable to someone else.
Like quarterback.
Like what was the controversial rule back in the day when they was like
what, the tuck rule?
Yeah. If that would have been anyone else, it'd have just been boom.
But we don't know that though. I mean it's easy to say that, but we don't know that. I think you know how sometimes I say it like this. You know when you buy a new car, and then all of a sudden you're driving down the street, you just see that car everywhere. I think it's our minds are programmed to try to. It's like our minds are programmed to think, oh, well, Tom Brady getting different rules than other people.
Could it be that he is?
It could be, but I don't think that it is.
Hold on, because you got to think about it. Like in basketball, superstars get superstar treatment.
Yeah,
Tom Brady.
But not everybody. Steph Curry don't get it.
They don't
give a Steph Curry the Superstar.
They really don't. They don't give him
anyway.
Well, I hear you, though.
Tom Brady is the NFL. You're not just a star in the NFL. Tom Brady is the NFL.
And they're going to protect. The NFL going to protect them.
So you got to think about it.
He got the O-line and the NFL.
Because you got to think about it. How is it that you're not getting sacked and all this stuff more than anybody else. You're not that elusive. You're not a runner. You can't really play out the pocket.
They got a good offensive line.
That where I'm saying they offensive line is just really that good.
They all right.
They're
better than average.
But that's what I'm saying.
They not the Cowboys O-line from a few years ago.
But look at the fact of in that same sense they're not the best. But somehow Tom Brady.
It sounds like he talking like that the NFL scheme and all
like another conspiracy.
I'm not wanting to bring up conspiracy theory because
the Patriots make the Super Bowl every year, huh?
Like I said, I don't want y'all to think I'm that person because that's foolish because it's too many moving parts.
I hate that guy. I hate the conspiracy theory guy.
Yeah, because it's too many moving parts.
The Chiefs
were
supposed to beat the Patriots last year, right?
Yeah, I was rooting for them.
But the Chiefs didn't have no defense.
Yeah, it was like...
I mean, going into the game, you knew that they didn't have no defense. So it really was who was going to score the most points. The Patriots totally took their offense out of it for the first half.
Like I said, I was rooting for the Chiefs. Knowing that the Patriots was gonna win,
yeah.
Even though they were down,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's one of those things. The Patriots have earned that spot to say, until I see you beat them, you haven't beat. You could be up 30-0.
Yeah.
Until I see the final score where the Patriots have lost, they're not losing.
Yeah. That's how I am too, though.
Yeah, because it's really not a matter of how well they are on offensive line, the quarterback. What Bill Belichick does is he plays the game. We're gonna do this by quarters, and he minimizes things. And 2 minute drill come, then we're gonna focus on this. We're gonna maintain it. The scores don't be crazy numbers.
Yeah, but except for the year they had Randy Moss. But yeah, for the most part, you're right.
Yeah,
they're just good and win. Like you said, if he win every quarter, he know he won the game.
Yeah. See, and another thing, I saw you had posted the thing on the Facebook page. Y'all need to check that out. Bump Your Guns on Facebook.
Check it out.
The Belichick or Brady thing.
Yeah.
That was Jay Diamond.
Okay. I just saw it up there. So I see one nick that I would give for Belichick is the poise of the team. For instance, when they played Atlanta, they were down 28-3.
Yeah.
When they came back on the field, it was like, yeah, we down. Okay. Any other team who's down in the Super Bowl, 28-3,
or give up.
They've given up. They checked out. LeBron
James does that too.
Oh.
He does. If they get up or he keep his team under control, like, hey guys, like, stay focused.
I thought you were saying it from the other way, LeBron James gives up.
I'm about to say, he does that now.
Yeah, it was a point where LeBron James was to give up.
I remember when they were playing San Antonio, before Ray Allen hit that corner three, because LeBron had the ball, he missed the free throw or layup.
He missed the three.
He checked out.
Mm-hmm.
You looked at him, the game was over with.
Yeah.
It was like, I lost the game for us. When Ray Allen hit that corner three,
you got new life.
So now he has that poise, but he didn't.
Yeah.
But Belichick gives his team, they have that poise, because you would never think that the way they played on field was a team who was down by 27 points.
Yeah. And I think my fourth team benefits from having a good coach too, which is the Eagles. I think the Eagles are going to win that division in large part because I think, for number one, they do have a good roster. They do have a good team.
Yeah.
But I think that's a team that's poised like that. I think that they, even though they went through the fire really more so with Nick Foles, I think that team, and then adding Deshaun Jackson and stuff back, I think that team will be ready for the obstacles that it might face. So
as long as Carson Wentz stay healthy,
yes,
that right there is, that'll keep the poise. It'll make it to where it's like, who's going to be our quarterback? Who's going to lead us? If he's there, it's like,
I was about to say, I'm with the Eagles, but the Eagles have an asterisk now because who's their backup now?
Oh, I don't know.
Who knows? I have no idea what their backup is.
So 2 years in a row.
Some dude.
2 years in a row, Carson Wentz didn't make it.
Yeah.
So we
and
just have
and
to.
And Nick Foles was.
Yeah. So we have to assume.
Jaguars.
So assuming that Carson Wentz goes with all 16 games, they are. They're poised to be that. But in the last 2 years, we have nothing credible to say that.
But yeah, when he does it. Play, he oh, is yeah. shining when he plays. Yeah. But yeah, that is a big asterisk now, because when you have those health concerns and not to have a legitimate backup now, it's like, man, so what is going to happen if something happens to him? Like,
some dude. This is a big year for him.
Yeah.
Because after this year. Yeah.
If they don't make it to the playoffs and he play. See, that's the thing. It would be, I don't want to say it'd be best for him to get hurt, because I don't wish hurt injury on anybody. But it would be best for him to get injured and them not make it versus, because if Carson Wentz plays 16 games without an injury and they don't make the playoffs or something,
they're in trouble. They're going to bring in a quarterback to stand behind them to start trying to build them up.
Yeah, but I think that'll be good, though. I think that team is just built. To a level to where if he plays, that'll be good.
I got the Bears as my fourth team. I know you had them as your three. I had the Seahawks as my three, and the Bears as my four. But I do have. Who do you have for your four?
I am thinking. This is a stretch. That the Raiders gonna show up this year.
The Raiders is AFC, though.
I'm going.
Yeah,
you went back
last week.
My bad. I had accidentally flipped my notes up. And I was like, when you said that, I had to look down. I was like, oh, man, I flipped my notes up too far.
I'm in the Twilight Zone.
Yeah. I flipped my notes up too far.
We're on four. Yeah, I got the Bears right there.
I had the Eagles, because I think they're going to win that division. The division that features the Cowboys also.
Now,
while he get his gather his thoughts,
that's where we are. I would say the Cowboys if Zeke comes back.
The Cowboys as the number 14?
I believe they are good enough. I'm not the fan of. They are good enough.
For all you Cowboy fans out there,
So you're saying they'll win the division then?
It's a toss up. Like I say, if Carson Wentz is healthy, I think the Eagles could win it. But just based on what we know and what we see, the Cowboys are in that position to win the division.
Should the Cowboys be concerned with Zeke and.
Not if you ask Jerry Jones. What'd he say?
I don't need a running back to win.
Although he's had a running back to win the championship.
One of the greatest running backs of all time.
Do y'all think anybody gonna pick up Dez Bryant? Or y'all think he done?
He's done.
Yeah, is he even recovered?
Because the Saints picked him up, and he got injured. So
is he even recovered from his injury? I think it's a wrap for Dez, though.
Because my thing is,
I just brought him up because we had
no. I would say it's a wrap for him, because I don't believe in the teams that are good. It's just no need to bring him in. He's not better than what they already have.
Yeah.
He's not consistent with the hands.
Yeah, so if you just need a roster spot, maybe. But, I wouldn't see anybody going out. He kicking it with Carmelo.
I do have the Cowboys.
He need a farewell tour. So. Yeah.
Him and Melo going to have it together.
Yeah.
I do have the Cowboys making it, but I think.
I don't.
I think they do have a good. I think, like I said previously, they have one of the best linebacking cores.
So
what
you have? So at number five, you had a Cowboys?
Yeah, I got the Cowboys fifth.
See, mine would be, like I say, it's a four. I guess you could say 4 and 5 Cowboys Eagles, and they interchange based on Carson Wentz. Because, like I say, I can't. I almost feel sick in the stomach putting the Cowboys up here like this.
Yeah,
but
I can't deny,
based on their roster and what they've shown, they are good enough to win the division.
Well, you are right. But
it was tough for me, too. It's tough for me to just say, the Cowboys are going to make the playoffs. But
I'm sorry, Cowboy fans, but it hurts.
By their record, you do got to kind of. You got to put them in there.
Yeah, because they've been trending.
I got the Eagles as my five, but can I put my last team in there?
Go ahead.
I got the Falcons in there.
And see, I got the Packers last.
But Aaron Rodgers.
But the NFC was so tough, because you still could say the 49ers. The 49ers got a good squad this year. You could say the 49ers can make it. And then, like, I didn't have the Seahawks. Y'all had the Seahawks. The NFC is really going to be tough.
Yeah.
But I think... I don't know.
Y'all don't think Cam going to show up this year? To even make it?
No, I don't think Cam going to make it.
I'm sorry.
I'm done with Cam.
I think I'm done with Cam.
I'm done with Cam.
And I like Cam, like, but it's just like, I just don't get what's going on.
I don't get it either. And it's like, maybe my expectations be so high for him.
My expectation for him is great. Yeah. And I don't know if it's just the Carolina thing or what, but it's not working.
So do you think it's the team or him?
I think it's a combination of both. I will say that he doesn't have a good he doesn't have as good a team as some of his peers, but for the level of talent that he is, I think he has a team to where they should be performing better than they are. And then when you factor in they went to the Super Bowl and then the way that that game went, and then the way it's been, it's like,
going back to that Super Bowl when the boy just threw his hands up when the fumble hit the ground, yeah. Like, hey.
Yeah.
Do you think that the criticism behind that has damaged him?
Yeah. I think it
media
has.
Period does.
I think. Well, you talking about like to his psyche,
to his psyche, yeah. Because he rightfully so. He got blasted because looking just playing the playback in my mind, I remember the ball like right there at his feet. All he had to do was drop down,
and he threw his hands in the air, or something, it wasn't worth it. The game was over.
And this is the Super Bowl. This is not just regular game. It's Super Bowl.
Now that brings me into something because I think. One thing that I never understand about pro athletes is why isn't their desire equal? Like, why is it that one player would jump on the ball then one wouldn't? Because I think if I was a pro athlete, I would be the best at what I did.
But see, this is the thing. I think it's because of what media portrays. Because on one hand, people that's super passionate, they get deemed as a negative. A lot of times when you see players that's super passionate, like you can use Odell Beckham.
You can use Dez too.
You can use Dez. Mm-hmm. People who are very, very passionate, they seem to do too much. They dramatic. They label them as they are a problem in the locker room,
I think it's this. It's the display. For instance, Dez and Odell show their passion by like kicking over goal posts, getting clamped up in the kicker's net and stuff like that. You know, so when you do that, you just like, what are you passionate about? Yeah. You know,
but how else would you know? That's the emotional part of it.
No, you know how though you passionate going out there on the next play and getting it.
Yeah. Your motor, having that motor. If you know they're going out there giving it, if you can see them giving it 100%, like Russell Westbrook, he don't do all that, but you know you're passionate because you watching them hoop.
But he still get a bad rap because they say he got a bad attitude. You can see his emotion.
But his bad attitude reputation is not from on the court. It's from seeing him in the interviews and from his teammates.
Like for instance, passion. Look at Tom Brady. His passion. I'm coming to you on the sideline, and you may see me yelling at you.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you should yell at another grown man, but that's his passion. Something don't happen, you could be lying, you know, he coming to you on the sideline.
But everybody got their own, like, everybody's
different. I don't know, but that's what I'm saying. It's all about optics. Here it is. One time I see you, the GOAT, winning this football play in history and stuff, who's out there. I'm looking at your output, your productivity, and you coming over there. So while it may be a bad look that you yelling at another grown man on the sideline, I could probably say you're saying something that's more productive than Odell, like missing a catch and then running over there and kicking over the punter's net.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and then you coming back and not doing that, and then you coming back, you got the Miami Beach pictures and photos. Then you come back.
Chilling on the yacht before the playoff game.
And then the playoff game come.
And you're dropping passes over and over.
Your production is zero. So therefore, your passion, until you get to a point where you're proving, the only way you get to show passion is by going out there and getting it. Because that's all we're going to look at. You went out there and kicked the net, but you missed. You dropped like three balls.
Yeah, because
but you still can be passionate.
No, it's how you display
it. It's the way you display the passion, though. It's where you might receive the backlash, depending on how you...
Like LeBron, he passionate.
But that's professionalism.
He passionate, like, jumping out there, breaking the rules. You know, you're passionate.
But is that professionalism, like,
we
kicking
don't
in that?
Exceeding that, we don't doubt that LeBron is passionate about basketball.
Hold on.
But professionalism, LeBron would say himself, like, I'm not going to go out there and do the layup, bro. That even though he's passionate about the game, he doesn't have to do that. And that would have to do with being professional.
Exactly.
And in the same thing, is it when you're looking at yourself, if you're Odell, I'm watching myself, I'm watching tape, and I see myself drop a ball, I'm mad, and I go tear up the sidelines. How do I justify that as passion?
Well, not that part of it. But I'm saying, my reaction, because I'm passionate about what's going on, I'm emotional. Like, you're just seeing the emotional part
of
that.
So you lack self-control.
Yeah, either way, it's still a negative. It's still a negative.
Hold on, you lack self-control.
Because you should be able to channel it in a different way.
So, for instance, let me ask you this. You at work. You passionate, you know, Joe not pulling his load. So it's all on you and something happens. So you just start pushing over desks and stuff.
And then they be like, Jamal, what's up, man? I'm just passionate about this.
I am.
I'm destroying the office because I'm passionate about this.
That's what I do.
And you're going to be fired.
No, because I'm going, hey, look here, Brother Tony. You the supervisor and... Brother Gabe, he is not pulling his weight. Da da da.
But that's the Tom Brady approach. What the Odell Beckham approach is to just start flinging stuff around the office. And then he's like, oh, it's all right, guys. I'm just passionate about this. I'm just passionate about this. Don't worry about me destroying all this material.
But that's still so.
I don't know. So you're showing passion.
You're showing passion. It's just not right. It's not in the right way.
Okay.
You're going to show that same passion tearing up the pizza.
Yeah, because even if you do the right thing for the wrong reason, it's still wrong.
Yeah. So basically, it's just like, hey, you need to turn that passion that you got, and you need to put more energy into that over there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because it's not acceptable for anybody to do it, but if you want to be able to have acceptable rage in sports, you got to be the coldest.
I should have said, if you do the wrong thing for the right reason, it's still wrong.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things. Now, if he was doing them one-handed catches and all that kind of stuff consistently, nobody would care that he went and kicked the punter's net and stuff like that. But
when your productivity not matching it, then it's like, man, you need to chill out, because we ain't even getting no wins. You over here doing all this.
Yeah, because sometimes an individual can be balling, but if you're not winning as an organization, then they gonna point out everything.
Yeah,
because
at the end of the day, it's about getting W's. At the end, I mean, everybody plays to win championships. If you don't win, then you don't win.
But that go back to what I was saying earlier, but some people, they make decisions not just based on, they know they're not going to win. So I'm going to ball out for my individual self, so I don't need you to mess up my brand and what I'm doing in this city, because you're going to mess up my career.
Well, see,
most
of the people like that, they're not the blue chip people, because the blue chip people are always in contention to win a championship. Yeah. Now, granted, there are some people nobody wants to say, I'm not as good as him, but truth be told, you're not as good as him.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah.
You know, so, like,
everybody's like, I'm the greatest rapper alive. Okay, I hear you.
Yeah, we hear you, man. If you be true really with yourself.
You know, that's what you're supposed to say.
Yeah, you're supposed to say
you, when they ask you the question, nobody should. I would look bad at you if you're like, well, you know, he is better than me.
Yeah.
You're supposed to, and shout out. But
or you could probably say it after y'all compete, but if y'all about to play, you're not going to be like, oh, he better than me.
Yeah.
Even after y'all play against each other, I'll probably still be like, why would you say this?
Yeah, so as a player, you have, as anything, you have to set your expectation realistically. Like I say, play the game like you're just as good as him.
Yeah.
Set your expectation on what's real. Because although I might say I'm just as good as LeBron, the league don't think that.
Yeah.
So I have to set my expectations realistically. So I know based on where I am, free agency is, it means nothing to me, because although I am a free agent, ain't nobody waiting. Hold on.
The whole league is not waiting on you.
So in that sense, I have to think about money and money alone, unless I can attach myself and you know, make these little sideline things end up.
It depends on where you are.
Like I say, I think I'm different though, because I think I would want to win. Like I think, obviously, I'm not in a position to really, you know, to see the money on the table and pass it up. But I think if I was in the league, I would want to be on whatever team I can win on.
True, but if you don't get that opportunity, because again, your free agency isn't the same. So it's like if you a free agent today, the Clippers ain't looking for you, the Lakers ain't looking for you.
Yeah,
so
that's what I'm saying. If you was in that type of situation to where, say you not that guy, or say you important, you was important to the team that you was just previously on, and then they was like, hey, Brother Tony, $200 million to re-sign with us, another five-year contract, or you can try to go and get with another team that may be competing for a title. So you saying that you would rather go join that team versus take the $200 million and stay where you at?
Yes, like okay, let's say not if I was a superstar. Think about what I'm saying, bro. Because I'm saying if I was on like the Derek Fisher tier, like I'm like you okay, said, I'm okay. a good that's, player. That's I'm good. A good player for my team. If I'm Derek Fisher,
yeah.
If I'm Derek Fisher, I can stay on the Lakers. I won't use the Lakers. I use the Thunder. Because he played for the Thunder, too. I can stay on a team that we're not really winning. We're not really that good. But they was good, too. I just say any team. He on any team that's not good. So I can stay there for $200 million, or I can go to a contending team and make $100 million. I would go to the contending team. Because even though it's $100 million that I'm not getting, I'm still getting $100 million. Because if you put it in perspective of all the NBA players, they're not really making peanuts unless you're getting a veteran minimum. But if you're a rotational player, you're making money. It's guys like Jeremy Grant making $15 million a year.
Hold on. So would you take the $100 million to the contender team?
Hold on. In something like that, like you gave the example of the Derek Fisher, probably only in the sense of saying Derek Fisher done made his money. He did all this. Like I say, the only thing left for you to do
is to win,
is to get a championship. So
then I probably will make that. Yeah.
But like I say, most of the players in that position, not in that position. Like say you not Derek Fisher, but you this lowly dude. Yeah, you like Mark Fisher.
No, say it as if you just came off of your rookie contract.
Even if I just came off my rookie contract, and I'm that level of a role player. Like I'm for sure a rotation. I'm a starter. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting 30 minutes a night. I would rather do that, making $100 million on a team that has a chance to go to the finals, than do that on a team where we having a losing record every year, winning a lottery every year, but I'm making $100 million more.
But it's still possible that the team that you signed with can do something too.
But not necessarily. Because today, if the Suns offer me $30 million a year, the Suns not gonna be good if they get me and I'm just another starter. If I'm a superstar, then that's different. But if I'm just a Derek Fisher type starter, I can give you 30 good minutes. We're not gonna be significantly better because of me. But if I can go somewhere where like Milwaukee, where they just need another spot up shooter as a point guard, facilitate the offense when Giannis don't do it. But I'm gonna make $100 million less.
Oh, I would
rather go play with them.
Well, in that case, yeah. But I'm saying, what if you wasn't the starting lineup was already solidified?
You Jeremy Lin.
You gonna be on the bench somewhere.
You wanna be a Jeremy Lin? Would you feel good about that?
Yeah,
ring?
I don't know about that.
Well, nah,
man.
Not if I'm Jeremy Lin. That's what I'm saying. If it depends, if I'm a starter level player, then yeah. But if I'm, but then it goes back to if you're Jeremy Lin, then obviously you ain't gonna get paid anyway.
Hold on, but that's what I'm saying. Are you? I'm like, would you be okay with the ring? Like I say, because if you're a Derek Fisher, free agency still means something to you because you know, you are that missing part.
Yeah.
You are
you're
a sixth man. Yeah, you that one. Okay, yeah. We need that. Bye. We need what you have. If you're not that, would you, you know, are you okay with being on the team and just getting the ring by association? You good, cool with championships by association?
Nah, but see, that's what I'm saying. If using that situation, like Derek Fisher, like we know role players sometimes get paid more than what they were. So that's why I tried to use Derek Fisher, because he, and although the numbers is inflated, but it is a way where he could get paid way more from one team and then get paid less from another
team. Him, Robert Orr, when he made his tour.
Yeah, Robert Orr.
Oh, he didn't even play during the regular season.
Right, right.
But I would rather be a Robert Orr and have rings than be a Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo got paid. He broke off. But look at the stigma on his name.
But yeah, because I agree with that.
That do sound good.
No, I agree, because check this out.
That.
All your boys got rings.
All of them.
First of all, you see.
Chris Paul don't got one.
Oh, well, Chris Paul.
He friends with Chris Paul.
Hold on, but check this out, because just thinking about that, I know it's said, I think it's supposed to be jokingly, but I think he be saying it for real, and I think it hurt him when he said this. How Shaq be poking at Charles Barkley.
Oh,
he
yeah.
like the ring. Hey, are we only talking about champions here?
Yeah. You can't say nothing about this.
Yeah, that bothers him.
And I know it bothers him. It's like nothing you can do about it.
Kenny Smith up there chilling. Kenny Smith, but he wasn't the last one. Yeah. But he up there like, we talking rings. I'm about to step up to the mic because I know about getting some
rings. I get what you're saying. I guess I'm saying I probably would take a role of Charles Barkley. I'm just saying
Charles Barkley was a beast though.
I'm not even saying I'm choosing that. I'm just saying some players get put in those situations and they make decisions because of their situation. Like they'll choose the money over going with another team. Sometimes people do that.
Like, yeah, so here it is. This is you. Introducing 4-time champion D. Wade, 3-time champion LeBron James, NBA star Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
it's okay.
That got to do with the All-Star.
But hello,
10-time NBA All-Star Carmelo Anthony.
But look, because remember, this is still, you talk about optics. Okay. Outside of basketball, if I made my imprint outside of basketball, then I'm good.
None of that applies to Carmelo.
But none of even still, if I'm a basketball player, I want my biggest accomplishment. Well, not necessarily my biggest, I would want to shine at what I do.
Well, that's true. Like Chris Paul, he shine at what he do, but he don't have a championship. But he also have other things outside of basketball. So when this ends, I'm good.
But you got to think about it. In a Chris Paul thing, nobody knows what Chris Paul is doing outside of basketball. So I don't think he's going to get judged
by. Besides the insurance commercials.
Yeah.
Nobody know what he's doing outside of that.
That's it, nobody. I say it varies from sport to sport.
He got charities, right?
He probably do. Everybody got charities.
NFL is about money because your window is small. You got to get what you can get. And if you win a championship, I say in the NFL,
if you get
a championship in the process, great. But you got to get your money.
Yeah. I agree in the NFL is different. Because
in the NBA, they're printing money.
But look, I think that because of how players are holding back and all that now, I feel like they're going to start making it to where it's like, hey, the players got too much control. And it's going to get to a point where you're going to have to really either make a decision on, hey, I got to take my money, or you're not going to be able to just go with
I'm glad. I want to ask a question.
That freeness like that.
People, we sorry. We know. We said our picks for the NFL. But hold on.
Y'all remember our pick. Yeah. We on to something else, man.
I know.
Players.
We keep going back to basketball.
Power. Do they? Because, for instance, we take the Paul George thing. Where he just, I want to be out. You under contract. No, that's what I'm saying. You can come in the front office and say whatever you want to.
Yeah.
I have to allow you to leave. Now, granted, people are saying that's not right. You know, he had 2 years. No, was the best thing that happened to the Thunder, because with Russell Westbrook and him, Paul George, they wasn't getting nothing done.
Correct.
And they weren't going to be able to reboot anything, because too much, that's 200, almost 300 million tied up in two people.
So
in a fell swoop, boom, you got rid of $300 million of cap space. So now you can rebuild. So that was more of a, man, I wonder how we're going to get rid of these contracts. Then next thing you know, I want to leave. What? All right, bye.
Well, so, I don't think the Thunder was gonna try to move him if he didn't say nothing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't, because nobody would have accepted their contracts, because the good teams are good teams and they don't need him.
But see, it seems like now the players are coming together. Like, hey, we have a right to say something. We can start making moves. Yeah. I think you said earlier something about the owners being together, or they are together, yeah, as an organization. Now, if they decide to say, hey, we got to take ownership of our teams, then I don't think that the players would have as much say-so.
That's why I say, but, do the players really have say-so? Not if I have to allow you,
correct,
to leave.
I agree. I think that. Well, I think the owners are allowing players to do what they're doing. And maybe it's a new thing, but I think that the owners are about to step in and like, hey, y'all doing a little bit too much now.
But the reason why I say yes, they have power, and I think the owners won't be able to do nothing about it, is because of the collective bargaining agreement. Whatever the owners decide to do, the players have to agree to it.
Yeah.
The NFL Players Association, whatever league it is, yeah, their Players Association has to agree with what the owners come up with. So if it's already at this level, Even if the owners try to scale it back or try to impose where a player can't ask for a trade, then the players would say no. The players wouldn't agree to it.
Yeah.
Now, it might be a strike or something that go on, but I think with the players having that leverage, the players have all the leverage.
See, but that's what I'm saying. I don't think that they do, because I say that because
I kind of don't think so either.
If you request a trade, that just shows me how much power you don't have, because all you could do is come to
my office and say,
I want to be traded.
The reason why I say the players have the leverage is because if the players decide to not play, then the product suffers.
Hold on, but I'm still rich at the end of the
day. But they are too.
Hold on, but you can't hold out like I can hold out.
But I'm saying, but they rich already. No matter what contracts they sign, they're never going to get the same amount of money as the owner.
Hold on, so that's what I'm saying.
So that can't be the goal. The goal is just for them to get paid.
Hold on, but that's what I'm saying. That's why it's, even when they struck that 1 year, those players was hurting, except for the who's, yeah, who, they were hurting. So it was like, what did it benefited you, but did it really benefit,
yeah,
you?
Because right, we got, that's like, what I'm saying.
But it did benefit them, though, because look at the league now. Look at the benefit that came from that, from them going on strike on, because they didn't.
Hold on, what's the benefit?
The benefit now is if you don't want to be where you at, you can leave. You can go wherever you want to and play. You can be a Kevin Durant.
But it's not
and
like
go,
that.
It is like that,
people
though.
People can't exactly go where they want
to
go.
But it's been done, though. Kevin Durant wanted to go to the Warriors.
Hold
he
on,
did.
Hold on.
Anthony Davis wanted to go to the Lakers. He did.
Hold on, but no, that's no, because no, of no. other people.
Hold on, stop. The difference in between that, Kevin Durant was free agent. So as a free agent.
But that's why I gave you an example, yeah, of both. I gave you an example of a free agent and a trade, because Anthony Davis wasn't a free agent. Anthony Davis, yeah, wanted to go to the Lakers and he went. Paul George wanted to go to the Clippers and he went. You see what I'm saying?
Hold on, but like those things were beneficial also for the team that,
correct,
let them go.
But right. But
so it was,
because if it don't make sense like that, for example, like AD, Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
The Pelicans, why they didn't make, when he first told them, hey, I don't want to be here no more, they could have did a trade then, but no, it wasn't going to benefit them.
Well,
so they waited. They waited,
yeah,
till it was best for them to make the decision. So he don't have that much power. It's like, hey, you got to sit right here until we ready for you to do that.
Yeah, but he still got what he wanted.
That's what I'm saying. But we got what we wanted. And that's what I'm saying. It would be different. For instance, like when they when the original Chris Paul trade to the Lakers.
Yeah.
Boom. They blocking that. That's just showing.
Well, the reason why that trade got blocked is because the NBA owned that team at that time.
But that's what I'm saying.
But if the NBA didn't own that team, they wouldn't have been able to block that trade.
Hold on. But that's what I'm saying. The owner blocked it. That's what I'm saying. That show, it's the same way if it was an owner, just a singular owner, it was a block that goes to show the
they have the power. They got the last say so.
Yeah, because if it does not benefit the owner. Now, the reason why they don't have the last say-so is the same thing on the job that we have right now.
This is what I'm saying. The reason why they don't have the last say-so is because I can just not play. I have the last say-so. I cannot play.
Well, that's true, too. Now, we can use that in our own individual lives. You can decide not to come to work.
But the difference is, if I don't go to my job, they don't have to pay me. If I'm a best, if I'm an NBA player, my contract is guaranteed. So if I say, y'all don't want to trade me, I'm not playing for this team, then you still got to pay me. I'm going to sit on the bench in my suit. I'm going to root for my teammates, and I'm going to get paid. Right or wrong, it's been done. Yeah. Carmelo Anthony just did it. Stephon Marbury did it for a whole season. He was sitting on the bench every game because he didn't want to hoop. I mean, at the end of the day, the players do have all the leverage because they are what the people are paying to see. The people are not paying to see the owners. But they can care less about the owners.
This is why I say it's still the owners. For instance, it's not affecting me either way, because if you say you want to be traded and I let you go, you're absent from the team. Mm-hmm. If you sit, you're absent from the team.
Yeah.
So either way it goes, from an owner standpoint, you're not going to be here. So the player that the fans want to see
is not going to be here.
Yeah, but it still affects the owner's product, because you're on the roster. You haven't been replaced with another player through a trade. You're on the roster now, and that's my superstar player, or my best player, that's not playing. Like Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard was not playing for the Spurs. It affected the Spurs that Kawhi wasn't playing, because that's his best player. The ticket sales probably wasn't as good. The attendance probably wasn't as good because Kawhi not playing. And then by him not playing, he got traded away from San Antonio like he wanted to.
Hold on, but he didn't get where he wanted to go, though.
But Kawhi thing more so was just getting away from San Antonio.
Now, granted. He had a preferred destination, but he didn't say.
But that's what we're trying to say. If I say, hey, I want to quit my job, I want to do this, or I want to play for another team, I can't just automatically go to wherever I want to go.
Yeah.
It's a process in that, but that ain't based on you. That's based on whatever the owners and whatever they got to do to make that happen. Yeah.
And then,
to get you what you want.
Best believe the owners talking behind the scenes, too.
Yeah,
so it's really, they really doing what's beneficial to them.
And I agree that everybody's not going to make a trade
if it don't benefit
them. That's what I'm saying.
Everybody's doing what benefits them, but ultimately, the player is the one with the leverage, because I have to go hoop. I have to bring the ratings. I have to bring the ticket sales.
We all know that the workers who do the most work is nothing.
But I think it's different when you talk about entertainment than it does when you talk about our jobs. Because with my job, it's not people paying to see me go to work.
Well, it's not about that, but you're still filling out the job. You're still doing the work.
Look at the Knicks. They've been good,
but the Knicks still the number one organization money wise.
Hold on, but that's what I'm saying, and they have nobody.
Exactly.
So
he making his money.
So that's what I'm saying. So even without you, I can make money.
Yeah, you can.
But that's just like if you decide to quit your job. It ain't about you. Just another number. I'm gonna fill you in.
Yeah, but it's not the same thing in the NBA.
Hold on, look at
it's
the
like,
Lakers.
It's not the same thing in any sport.
Stop. Look at the Lakers. They haven't had anybody for a while, and they're still the Lakers.
Look at the Browns.
But look,
we had nobody.
Even in those examples that y'all gave, they wanted somebody. They wasn't thinking. We making our money. We good. We can. We don't have to pay. We don't have to pay Kevin Durant. We don't have to pay.
Of course, you gonna want to get the. You want. You want somebody
Kevin
good.
Kevin Durant is gonna raise that because they think we making
all this
money.
Hold on, check this out. Hold on, they don't always make that way because look at Jerry Jones. I have a strong belief that he didn't care about winning at all for a long time. But yet they still the highest valued franchise in sports.
Yeah, because they got the most recognizable brand.
But that's what I'm saying. And he did this with nobody. He wasn't trying to win.
But he still
trying to win.
But he still to this day is trying to get people.
Can I ask you
he gave up a first round receiver.
Hold on, his son did that.
No.
Not him.
If the players got so much power.
Okay, I'm listening.
When they come out of college, why they don't just choose where they want to go? Versus
that's not
getting
the way the system is.
Why?
Because it's not because it still has to be a competitive balance. It has to be fair. Think about it like this: if that wasn't the system, because that's not necessarily just on the owners. That's just period. If there wasn't a system, you can't have Zion coming out of college and saying, "I want to play for the Warriors." How would that work?
So that's getting me back to this. If I'm a player playing for the Heat, just say I'm who gonna use another cold player?
They play for the Heat?
No, I'm anybody.
A college player or NBA
just say
player?
LeBron.
Okay.
Say LeBron. Say I want to go to play for the Warriors. Well, mm-hmm. I don't want to use him because they can probably make that happen.
Exactly, they can because it's LeBron. If LeBron go say. I want to play for the Warriors.
Hold on, but on that side note, as much as we talking about all this, we realize that LeBron played out his contract. He had the option to leave, he never broke a contract.
He did.
He moved when his contract gave him the option to move.
And he went to the team that he wanted to go to.
Yeah, because he LeBron.
Hold on. You saying when I allow you to be able to do it, that's when you made
his contract. Like I say, LeBron.
Is that what you saying? Hold on, wait.
I didn't say that.
I wanted to make sure.
No.
You saying like, hey, okay, you got to be on the team for this time period, and then I'm gonna give you an option on this time.
LeBron.
Is that what you're saying?
The most powerful player. Only moved when his contract.
But it's rules and parameters to everything because you have to think. Even as an owner, I can't just say, well, I'm not gonna pay you. Like it's still so. I mean, it's rules to anything.
I'm just saying, like LeBron hated his owner. And his coach.
Right,
but he stayed.
Because he can't just jump and do what he want
to
do.
But if he would have asked to be traded, they would have traded him.
I don't think
they would have traded him.
No, I'm saying they wouldn't have just for his dislike. Was David Black? That's not the owner.
No, David Black was the coach.
It's that Russian.
Yeah, that was one of the coaches.
Just out of the disdain for him, I don't like, so I'm not going to let you go. You're going to be him and be miserable.
I don't agree. I think if LeBron asked for a trade, they would have traded him.
Let me rewind, because that was just me speaking as that dude. But speaking realistically, I would have traded him too, only for the simple fact of
you talking about LeBron?
Yeah.
From the Cavaliers?
Yeah, because you know what you're going to get for LeBron.
Your entire roster.
I want everybody.
Yeah,
for LeBron.
And you're gonna sit there and think about it. Think about giving me everybody for LeBron.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. So these things are mutual. See, in basketball, that's why I say it's a mutually.
Yeah, it is different for different.
They don't have the same amount of power because although you can come here and request a trade. You ain't going nowhere until it's beneficial to me.
Yeah.
So while you're eventually gonna get to go, I'm getting back some stuff.
That's
beneficial to me.
That's how I
football.
See it.
You have no say so in anything.
Yeah, because
you don't want to work.
Yeah.
You can say at the crib.
Your wingspan in the NFL is so short.
Mm-hmm.
Like the average, he's like about 3-4 years, and then
Tom Brady,
you pretty much done.
Yeah, real time.
Because what are you, 42?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, he 42. It ain't been too many people that has been at this mark. I think they said Doug Flutie.
He's the only one that's good.
That was good at that age.
Yeah.
That was still good.
Tom Brady is still, like you say, they're still slated as the number one spot. They lose the Super Bowl the year before. The next year,
they won.
They're going to win.
They're still the number one.
They've been winning every other year for as long as I can remember.
So Tom Brady is an anomaly.
Yeah. I don't know. I still kind of feel like the players do, but I see y'all point. I see what y'all saying, but if I don't know, I still side that the players.
Like I say, they have more power than football, since basketball, football are two dominant sports in America. They have more power than football players, but because in football, owners have all the power. In the NBA, I think it's mutual.
I just think you can, on your individual self, you could choose not to play. You do got the power to do that.
Yeah.
Like Dez Bryant want to play, but he can't go on he can't choose no one team. Like I'm gonna come play with y'all.
No, he's not choosing not to play.
But that's the point I'm trying to make. He don't got that much power, and he's a player. It's about the team, like the
but
owner
it still
had
goes,
to decide.
But you can it's two sides to that coin. Like football. Robert De Niro and he. It's two.
I'm saying,
it's
individual,
a flip side to that coin.
I can't, if I want to do something.
But if you're an owner, you can't sign whoever you want either. It go both ways. If the owner wanted to sign Dez, Dez has to give the permission that yes, I'm going to play on your team.
See, this is the thing.
So it goes both ways.
You know what it is? This is what it is. In either league, stars have power.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not just players. It's not just anybody. Because for instance, Dez Bryant, if he was cold.
Oh, yeah, then it will be different.
We take it back to Colin Kaepernick. As much as everybody, all that heat that he got, if Kaepernick, now I'm not saying he was trash.
Because he good.
But if,
he is good. He's good enough to be a quarterback.
We're going to talk about that on the next episode.
Yeah, that's
good. We're
going
to have a Kaepernick conversation. We're going to
have a
Kaepernick.
Look out for that. Those who listening, go to the Facebook page and post your thoughts on Colin Kaepernick. Not about the black on the police brutality, none of that. His skills.
His
do you
skill
think
level.
He good
do
enough
think Colin
to be on a roster?
Hold on.
First string or third string on practice squad.
First, let me put that in context. I said don't think about the stuff that came with him, but I want you to do that. No. Because in this context, it matters.
Yeah.
Is his skill set good enough to overcome the backlash that you're going to get?
That's good.
Yeah.
From, okay, that's good.
Because that
is a part of it.
Because that's a part of it. Because we want you all to post, look on that and post that. Is or was Colin Kaepernick good enough from a quarterback standpoint for him to be on your team and you receive the backlash from it? And we'll leave you all with that. Again, this your boy Gabe.
It's your brother Tony Spivey.
It's Jay Diamond, baby.
Thank y'all for bumping your guns with us. Peace.
What's up, listeners? I just want to talk to y'all real quick about three ways that you can help support this podcast. The first thing is to share. Every time you see a new episode drop, share it so that we can reach others that we otherwise would not be able to reach without your help. Secondly, interact with the Facebook page. Leave a comment about things that we discuss, and also you can suggest topics that we can talk about on future episodes. And last but not least, you can become a monthly supporter. If you like the content that we're dropping and you're liking what you hear, put your dollars behind it. Any dollar that you contribute is appreciated. Shalom.